Amen. The Bible says in verse number 1, and you may remain seated for the reading of God's word, because we'll be journeying through this text together. And of course, we'll see the culmination of how the Lord is seeking to admonish us, but also edify us, build us up, to make sure that we're living with the right perspective, the right vision, a heavenly perspective on things. But notice in verse number 1, launching out of the gate here, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of," what, church? Remembrance. Now, would you join with me back to chapter number 1 and very quickly look at another verse that we find something similar. 2 Peter chapter number 1, notice in verse number 12. Verse number 12 of 2 Peter 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in," what, church? "Remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir up you and stir you up by putting you in remembrance." There's the emphasis yet a third time. This word "stir" that's used in verse number 13, also used in verse number 1 of chapter number 3, is talking about waking us up, if you will, and to render us active, to arouse us, if you will, from sleep, to take waters that are serene and tranquil and to agitate them, if you will. And in a way, God is saying, hey, I want to shake you out of your status quo. I want to take your heart and your life, and I want to take you out of that rut of the mundane and the ritualistic and the average and the ordinary and the apathetic, even being dead and lethargic, and I want to stir you if you'll let me and you'll allow me to stir you. Of course, by putting us in remembrance, most of us in this room have been saved for many, many years. Several of us, even in this room, second-generation Christians, we've grown up, if you will, in the culture of Christianity. And if we're not careful, the things of God can become, as we referenced this morning, stale and mundane and ordinary, when we should never lose the wonder of it all to reflect upon the truth of God's Word and the person of Jesus Christ and the privilege that we have to be a servant, to be a soul winner, to be, as was mentioned in prayer, salt and light. That would not wear off, but we would still have the awe and the exhilaration and the excitement and the fire to say, oh God, I pray that you'll use me. Help me use me, Lord Jesus, in this generation, this hour in which we live, to make a difference. I will say a statement that seems very confrontational. It's not meant to be. My wife and I certainly don't claim to know anything. It's true, the older you get, the more you realize, the less you know. I tell you, just traveling 13 years, still new into it in a sense, and we're not claiming to be some sort of scholar or some sort of expert, even in evangelism, but I'm thankful the Lord lets us travel 10 months out of the year. But listen, we have observed this across the board. The people who need revival, two types of people. People who need revival and a stirring from God, which, pause, revival is something that you cannot work up, but it's something that is brought down from the Lord. It's not a manipulation. It's not something in which we try to manufacture. You cannot package revival. A person cannot bring revival. It's only through the Lord. It's something that's manifested from the very heart of God. And He, as a consuming fire, ignites something within us. God burns within our hearts, a fresh and anew. But revival, we've seen this many times. People who need revival, number one, are the ones who don't think they need it to begin with. And as soon as a preacher, no offense, an evangelist, you know, we literally just came from a revival meeting. The week before, revival meeting. The week before, revival meeting. Week before, revival meeting. And if anybody can grow apathetic and cold and callous toward the things of God, it's this man standing behind the very pulpit. Because preaching, 11 times last week, by the way. I mean, an average of six to eight times a week, and in the Bible, these things can become very average and ordinary and dull, and my senses can become deadened, if you will, to the leadership of God, and we can start to go through the motions of pulpiteering and preaching and presenting, if you will, truth. No, the pulpit needs a fresh touch of God. It needs a dose of the Holy Ghost. It needs the Lord to manifest Himself in a radical way in my heart and burn, so that way people get exactly what God needs for them in their life. Just a little bit more monitors if I could tonight from the sound booth. A little bit more monitors. People who need a revival are the ones who don't think they need to begin with. Number two, revival, many times we've seen, People who need revival are the ones who have been saved the longest. It shouldn't be that case. But it's the people who have been saved the longest. You take a new believer in Christ, and there's just something fresh and something radical there, you know? Ready to charge, like, what's the old expression? Hell with a squirt gun, which we should always have that kind of heart. Amen? But man, I tell you what, there's just something radical there and just something maverick there and something that's just so passionate there. And then you take, if you're not careful, and I believe that there are many people who have been saved a very long time, that their love for God is deeper, their walk with God is greater, their passion for souls is bolder. And that can be true, but it also, if we're not careful, listen, we've been saved 30 years. We've been doing this thing for a long time. We've grown up in church, whatever your testimony may be. And God says, hey, I know that you know these things. I know that you're established in these things. You're not changing from these things, but I need to remind you of some things because you've forgotten, you've lost the awe, you've lost the wonder, you've lost the excitement of what all of this is in the Christian life. And I seek, if you'll let me, to stir you, to shake you, to render you active even more, to arouse you from that sleep and agitate your heart so that way it is not idle, but it's engaged as it ought to be. Wow. He says in verse number 1 of 2 Timothy 3, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. All the things that we're going to see tonight in the next 15 to 20 minutes are things that we all know of. But I pray that we've not lost the awe or the excitement or the exhilaration of it. May God help us. We see in verse number 2, the Bible says that you may be mindful. You may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. This is talking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, the prophets, the those before the coming of our Lord. And then also, you can see the reference there to the New Testament, in which the Holy Spirit of God used the apostles and such to write what we have in the Word of God. And I believe that God, very simply tonight, bottom shelf, and it's the basic building blocks, it's the basic things of the Christian life that we oftentimes forget and grows negligent in our life. God would have us to be mindful, number one, of the principles that have been given unto us. Don't forget about His Word. Amen? Don't forget about the truth and the rib-rock conviction that we find in Scripture that we ought to live by, and that we would not take the Bible for granted. As in passing we referenced this morning, man, over 51 nations on the planet, it's still illegal to have a copy of the Bible. It'd be good for us to go to YouTube and maybe, I've not done it in a long time, I don't know what would pop up, so I got to be careful what I advocate, I suppose, by suggesting you go to YouTube, but look up people who get a Bible for the first time and see the expression and see the heart and the exhilaration, and man, just the rush. I think about one video that we show every once in a while. We do have it tucked away in one of our documentaries called The Price of Truth. I encourage you to check that out on our YouTube channel, and it just helps us, man, be so mindful of the persecution of the church around the world. Even though we experience peace here in America, the Christian is the most persecuted people group on the planet. One believer, a Christian, is being killed every single 6 minutes for this book right now in 2022. Could it be that in our hearts and our lives we become so flippant toward it? We only implement it when we think it's relevant. We've lost a, here's a trigger word, submissive spirit under the whole counsel of what He teaches. And I should not be guilty of committing the sin of humanism, where I, in my psyche, my subconscious, my mind, my heart, my emotions, what I think is best, I elevate myself above the authority of God, and then I decide what's relevant for me, and I pick and choose throughout Scripture of what I think is relevant, and I'll implement it in my life. No. Rather, it should be my sole, S-O-L-E, authority, my only authority for faith and practice, a biblical worldview, that I'm doing everything in my life because the Bible teaches it. I'm seeking to find, you say, well, show me chapter and verse of the specifics. So I can show you chapter and verse of a lot of truth in Scripture that we can certainly apply to our life. Say, well, you know, and I don't want to get down to the weeds. We don't have any time for that. We got to stay on the path here. But, you know, one verse, for instance, abstain from all appearance of evil. Let's just take that one out of the hat. Amen? It's not even sin. This looks off. Apply it. Implement it in your life. Abstain. Run. Have no part with it. Man, God is God. He's given us an admonition here. The things that you read in the Old Testament, man, glean from it, grow from it. It's still the Bible. If it wasn't the Bible, it wouldn't be in the book. All sorts of things that we see here and say, well, you know, that's Old Testament Christianity. Man, 2 Timothy 3, I briefly alluded to that reference in passing just a moment ago when I was trying to get you to go to 2 Peter 3. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, it says, all Scripture. Who am I to redefine what all is? I mean, all is everything. It's all 66 books, period. I'm not the authority, and neither are you. God is. And all of us must have a tender, willing spirit of submission and surrender unto the authority of God and say, Lord, what do you have for me according to your word? I'm going to embrace that. I'm going to implement that. I'm going to obey it. God, whatever it is that you've got for me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's all God-breathed and is profitable. Everything you read in the Bible will somehow, some way help you, benefit you, strengthen you. Say, man, there's a lot of names in some of these chapters. It's like, what's the purpose of all this? I'm thankful God put it in there. Because you know what it shows me? Wow. Wow, generation after generation still pursuing God. Still staying faithful to what the Lord had for them. If they could do it, I can do it too. Amen? Lord, help me to raise a godly seed, not just be a second-generation Christian, then it dies and they go astray and go to the world. Man, may it be 100 generations. Amen? Or however many, pursuing Christ and living for the Lord. And there's just so much underneath this one thought, this one point. But may the Lord, and I encourage you to jot it down, may the Lord help us to be mindful of the principles that have been given unto us. So many times, if we're not careful, we forget what the Bible says. You know, Christian life is not complicated. It should be this. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. The Christian life is not complicated. The Christian life is encapsulated in, rather, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law. Shall not depart from thy mouth. I'm going to personalize it. Shall not depart from my mouth. But I will meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then, by the way, and only then, will I find my way and make my way prosperous, and then and only then will I have good success. The only way the blessings will come is if I pursue the Lord and I follow what He has for me in His Word. And may God give us Christians that will not be negligent towards Scripture, but people that will be stirred to read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, to memorize it, to say, God, what is it that you have for me as a dad and as a husband, as an individual, as a Christian? God, I want to be the best father and the best husband and the best preacher and the best man that I can be. Oh, God, help me to not neglect what you have for me, but help me to be mindful of the words which were spoken. Help me to have a biblical worldview. Maybe you're familiar with a statistic. It's been around for a few years, but George Barna conducted a survey among evangelical Christians. He said, how many of you have a biblical worldview? All the answers, you know, were then gathered and then averaged together. 9%. 9%. He was like, what in the world? Like some of you, just kind of like, huh? That's crazy. He said, no. So he went back and he did the survey again and focused specifically on born-again Christians. Now, that perks up my ears because that's me, amen, saved by grace through faith. You know, evangelical Christianity lumps a whole lot of stuff in there, even Catholicism and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and cults that are not biblical. We may have common ground on some political issues, but we're not on the same page when it comes to the Word of God or Jesus Christ. It's just, you know. Born-again Christians, though, are at least saved by grace through faith. Question asked, how many of you have a biblical worldview? 19%. I pray that it's 5 out of every 5 in this room, but according to statistic, 1 out of every 5 in this room, barely, is living by this book. No wonder we need revival. We're not following, passionately pursuing, perceiving, and doing what God would have us according to this book. May the Lord help us in this area. Amen. I'm mindful, and just the Lord brought to mind the quote, and I hope I don't butcher it, but I'll give you the idea of it and the concept of it, a man by the name of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot, we heard about their testimony this morning from Sunday school class. And Jim Elliot, how that he gave his life as a missionary to the Auk Indians there, and he and his friends, they were martyred for their faith, but they were willing to be obedient unto the death. They embodied the Spirit of Christ, amen? But as he was crisscrossing this country, raising support as a young missionary to go down to these people that had never once heard the name of Jesus Christ and completely backward and wayward and cannibalistic, he said this. He said, Christians and churches across this country, they are colder than our well-kept tombs. He said, and their condemnation could be written on the dust and in the dust on their Bible covers. He wrote that in his journal. Just so burdened about American Christianity, and I wonder if he could get a glimpse of Christianity today across the board, from sea to shining sea in this country, 2022, I wonder what his thoughts would be. And listen, I'm not accountable for you. We're not accountable for some other church. You're accountable for yourself. And may the Lord help us and strengthen us individually tonight to have a heart like Joshua that says, listen, you got to do, and I say this in love and all respect, but you got to do whatever it is that you think is right in your life. But as for me and my house, or those that I am responsible with and for, we will serve the Lord. Amen. He is our God and King. He is number one. He has preeminence. We will serve the Lord, and we will serve Him in sincerity and in truth. We're following this book. This is our roadmap. What the Bible says, we believe it, that settles it, period. There's no conniving and figuring a way to get out of it. But listen, even though our flesh doesn't agree with it, we're going to bring that thing down to submission and subjection. We're going to follow what God has for us. It may not be popular. That's okay. We're going to live for God, and we're going to follow His Word. Help us to be mindful tonight. Amen, church? God, stir us to not let this book and the principles therein fall by the wayside, but be a people that study to do all things. And as we are learning and as we're being taught, that we would observe to do all things whatsoever He has commanded. Amen? I don't know where you're at in your life. It's not my business to put my nose in where you're at. I pray that you take a look within your heart. Look within your home. Say, Lord, help us to be a Bible-centered family. Help me as an individual to be a Bible-centered man and individual. God, if I've begun to grow weak or lethargic or dead or apathetic or indifferent concerning your word, God, I beg of you, please stir me. Render me active. Shake me, O God. Please agitate the waters of my heart. Help me to have a passion for this book. May God give us a biblical worldview. Amen, church. Continuing forward, we just have a few moments, and I presume that we're done at 7 o'clock. Is that what you had said? Very good, very good. Thank you so much. The Bible says, notice in verse number 3, God continues, this, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. And it continues to talk about the context of this passage. And I want to read it all, but we need to continue to move forward for the sake of time. Everybody good? Everybody on the same page? But we see here as well, number 2, may God help us to be mindful not only of the principles that have been given unto us, but number 2, as we glean from these verses, to be mindful of the pernicious and their devious ways. That there are people out there that have a desire to influence you and take you away from what we should be obeying and observing and following. And so many times, if we're not careful, we can grow lazy, we can let the guard down, we become indifferent, and it's not that bad, I guess it's okay. We'll begin to excuse various aspects of entertainment and things, influences, and we allow them into our home, and they will infiltrate, and they will affect you and me. We got to be careful, because there are things out there. We have adversaries that are out there, the flesh, of course, the world, that corrupt cultural system is always looking for a way to inundate your heart, inundate your home, and to affect you and to take you away from the things of God. It's just the way it is. We always need to be on guard. Amen? We always need to understand that there are people that are going to come that are going to try to take us away from the Word of God. And may God stir us in this area. May we not become, status quo. It's not that bad, mundane, apathetic. But may there be a vigilance, if you will, as the Bible advocates, how that we're going to have a readiness to revenge all disobedience. We're going to tear down everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Man, there is a passion in the hearts of moms and dads and husbands and wives and Christians in this room that we're going to be careful of the things we allow into our eye gate, our ear gate, our mind gate, our heart gate, our children. We will fight it tooth and nail. We are not going to bend over backwards, if you will, and we're not going to just lay down and let the enemy just go ahead and do whatever it is that they want to do. We will stand our ground. We're going to be kind about it. Amen. You could be friendly, but it doesn't mean that you have to be friends. God help us to have the right position, but also the right disposition. Man, then we'll have conviction. Rib rock conviction. Ain't shaking, ain't moving from this. Bible says, and I believe that settles it, but also that would be Christ-like in it. And Jesus was compassionate, and Jesus was careful, and may the Lord help us in the same aspect. But there came a point in time which Jesus did flip over tables. Said, enough is enough. And maybe the Lord needs to challenge parents or grandparents in this room to say, you know what? Enough is enough. We're drawing the line in the sand. We've been wrong. We've been going astray in this area. We've been compromising. We've been becoming indifferent concerning these influences. And we know down deep in our heart that they're wrong. But you know what? Enough! We're done! And so many times what happens, the devil crawls on the shoulder and he whispers, oh, you know, it's too late. You know, what are your kids going to think about you because you're already allowing these things and just let it run its course. It's fine. You know, future television things or entertainment aspects, you know, then cut those things off. But just leave the stuff that you got. It's okay. No, it's not. God help us. God help us tonight to be mindful of the pernicious and their devious ways. As we read through this passage, they make fun of the truth. They're doing that which is right in their own eyes. It talks about their scoffers, right? Verse number 3, do you see that? They're making fun of the truth. Be careful of the crowd that's making fun of the Word of God. I listen, no offense, but you may have good intentions about stuff, but if you're going to contrary to this book and you've got a cynical, snickery spirit about it, I'm not going to fellowship with you. I'm sorry. I'm going to mark you and avoid you. And there's a lot of scripture that talk about that. God help us. Walking after their own lusts, or they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. Of course, it's wrong according to the Bible, even though it may feel right to them. Listen, just because something feels right doesn't make it right. It doesn't matter what you feel. That's like a verbal slap in the face, you know. What matters is what God says. Because I know in my flesh, at least I'll speak for Caleb Garraway, there dwelleth no good thing. It is deceitful and desperately wicked. And I should not trust myself, but I can trust in God. May the Lord help me to stay focused upon His Word. The Bible says in verse number 4, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? And we draw application from this that there are people out there that will question what God has said. Be careful of that kind of crowd. That's what the devil did with Eve. Put a question mark where God put a period. They're even willing to be ignorant about what the Bible teaches. Verse number 5, for this they are willingly are ignorant of. Of course, in the specific context of God's return. But you can see that application across the board, even with alcohol. Well, you know, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. Listen, all I know is that He has made me a priest and a king. Amen? It's not for priests, O Lemuel, to drink wine. How about that one? Jesus was offered alcohol on the cross. It entered His mouth, but He spit it out. I need to walk even as He walked. Jesus spit it out. I need to spit it out too. It is what it is. Christian life is not complicated. Get your head screwed on straight in Christ and get the mind of the Lord. Instead of trying to, I'm going to ride the line as close as I can to get away with my carnality. What? Who do I think I am? Who do you think you are? May God help us to be submissive and surrendered under the leadership of God. Just a few more minutes remaining. Is everybody okay? Would you say amen tonight? Moving forward, verse number 8. And just now skimming like a rock, if you will, on a surface as it skips across the surface. Here we go. And soon the thing's going to plop, all right? And we've got about 3 minutes left till this thing plops. Verse number 8, the Bible says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God's trying to stir us tonight. How? Different areas, as God is seeking to be topical through this text. Number 3, mindful of the providence of God. You know, we just need to let God be God. It seems like the Lord's going to return any moment. I should live every day as if he will. The signs of the times are all coming together. It appears, but listen, it could still be 1,000 years from now. And instead of me in my heart wanting to talk and be consumed and focused and fixated, if you will, on prophecy being fulfilled, and there's a time and place for that, if we're not careful, those things can be all-encompassing and all-consuming. And what happens is it renders us idle and inactive of what I ought to be doing with an ever-increasing vehemency for the cause of Christ. So many times people want to talk about end times and, you know, prophecy, and what happens is they wind up sitting back in the rocking chair, you know, so to speak, on the porch, rejoicing, just looking for the eastern sky. An idle mind, idle heart, idle hands, idle feet. No. Amen. May we ever be busy as the Lord gives us admonition all through Scripture. As we continue forward, we see the Bible says, let's just read verse number 9 down to verse number 14. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Thank the Lord tonight. May we be mindful of the promise that was made of his redemption, of course, as it talks about here, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants every single person to be saved. God wants every single soul to become born. Born again. May we be mindful of the promise that was made. And as we see that day approaching, the Lord returning, oh, may God help us to ever increase in a passion to see this promise fulfilled. Mindful of the promise of his return. He says, notice in verse number 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Number 5, mindful of the person I ought to be. It says here, I ought to be living in all holy conversation. It's not just talking about a talk, it's talking about a walk, a way of living, and godliness. Of course, looking and hasting unto his coming, verse number 12, verse number 14, the Bible says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The takeaway from all this tonight, mindful of the person that I ought to be, that you ought to be, that we are living in purity, amen? No contamination in our heart and life. We refer to that in 1 John 3, verse number 3 this morning, that we would live and purify ourselves even as he is pure, understanding that that hope of his return is coming. God, help us to live in purity and not look for excuses for compromise and carnality. We're living with a passion, diligent, amen? Diligent, faithful to the final breath, diligent, faithful to the trumpet sounds, that we're living in peace with one another. That's what he says. May be found of him in peace. There's no contention. Amen? There's a job to get done, right, church? And it ain't going to be done if we're at each other's throats. And the devil wants us at each other's throat and shooting within so we can't shoot out there and make a difference. Living in purity, living with passion, living in peace. And, of course, ultimately, as you see the whole overview of this chapter, living with purpose. There's no question. There's no question about who we are. There's no confusion. There's no mistaking what we're all about. Amen? We're all about Jesus Christ. We're all about his word. We're all about his work and the church going forward, not backward. And we're all about revival and seeing what God can do in us and through us for his glory and the gospel's sake. Father, help us now as we transition to the